In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What words do you use when you want to say that someone died? It's common for us today to say that that person passed. I always thought that was just a Southern expression, but people everywhere use it now. The church has a lot of euphemisms for dying. We used to say that someone who died crossed the Jordan, but many people don't get that reference anymore. It refers to the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River to get to the promised land. A church expression that I like to use is that the deceased is now in Christ's nearer presence. In this world, Christ comes to us in mediated ways through the means of grace. Beyond this life, he will be with us directly, live and in person. Dying is a difficult, awkward thing to talk about. So we use those euphemisms to avoid the word died and to avoid our general uncomfortableness with death. People often don't know very much about death from the Christian perspective, because it's a topic we avoid. I recall vividly having a very deep conversation with someone about death and dying right before her father-in-law's funeral. She had been a lifelong Christian, but she shared with me that she had absolutely no idea what happens to us when we die. This All Saints Sunday, as we remember those who have crossed the Jordan, makes a good opportunity for us to consider what the Bible says about death and dying. These are things that need to be said and heard. Death was not originally part of God's plan for humanity. Genesis tells us that man and woman were made in God's image. We were made to know God and love him and do his will on earth. Made in his image, Adam and Eve were immortal. But they sinned, and the consequence of their sin was that disasters, disease, and death came into our world. The Bible talks about three kinds of death. Adam and Eve's sin marred the image of God within them beyond recognition. They alienated themselves from God and the loving relationship that God wanted with them. That is spiritual death, and that is passed down to each one of us. Sin also caused physical death. Our bodies break down and cease to function. Then there is eternal death. Because of our sin, we are condemned under God's law. We would face everlasting wrath and punishment, the second death, permanent death, if not for what Christ has done for us. What exactly is physical death? When does death occur? And what happens when it does? The answer seems obvious, but science has made death harder to define. We used to say that somebody was dead when they stopped breathing and when their heart stopped beating. But modern technology makes it possible for people's hearts and lungs to keep working even long after their brain has stopped. This can pose a dilemma concerning people on life support. What we have to say about that is this. It is not necessary to take extraordinary measures to preserve physical life. There comes a time when it is time to go and be with Jesus. When a cure is not to be, we can keep dying people comfortable and let nature take its course, and it certainly is not ever for us to hurry things along. From the Bible's perspective, death is the separation of body and soul. We know what our bodies are. Technically, there is a difference between soul and spirit, but I'm going to use them interchangeably as we usually do in the vernacular. Our soul is our essence, our innermost being and self. Mankind's wisdom can neither create life nor explain human consciousness. Human life is a complex interconnection of body and soul. Genesis tells us that God created the first human beings out of the dust of the earth. Then God breathed life into him. That is where our soul comes from. When our bodies die, eventually they return to dust. Recall how Jesus, when he died on the cross, said that he was commending his spirit into the Father's hands. His body went to the tomb to await resurrection. So what happens to us after we die? We know that our bodies will decompose, so they are buried or cremated. The Jews buried their dead. The early Christians did too. Creation or cremation was seen as a pagan custom, and some people erroneously thought that a cremated body could not be resurrected. That's not true. The only difference between burial and cremation is the rate of speed at which the body returns to dust. Our God, who created heaven and earth, can resurrect our bodies no matter how far our atoms and molecules are scattered. But what happens to our souls when we die? The big question for the Christian is, are we immediately in heaven, or do we rest, sleep in the grave until Christ comes again and the dead are resurrected? The notion that we sleep in our graves, both body and soul, until Christ's second advent is called soul sleep. That is not what we believe and teach. Scripture does, in a few places, refer to death as sleeping, but it's just a metaphor. Death is not sleep, and sleep is not death. Christians are immediately in Jesus' presence after they die, and it is a positive, blessed place to be with Christ. To the good thief on the cross, Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And St. Paul tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For the baptized, believing Christian, the state of the soul immediately after death is all good. We can call the place that our souls abide heaven or paradise. And please note that when we die, we don't become guardian angels watching over our loved ones or become any kind of angel at all. As we said a few weeks ago, angels and humans are two different species. And please don't say that we become birds or butterflies or ghosts. That's just not Christian. Well, what about those who are not in Christ, those who reject God's grace and do not have faith? When the body and soul are separated in that case, the soul goes to a place apart from God's presence. We could call it Hades. There is infinite sadness in that place and no comfort or hope. We don't have to know the particulars of what that place is like. The important thing is that we avoid going there. When Christ comes again to earth, then the earth and the sea will give up their dead, the bodies that they hold, and all souls and their bodies will be reunited. The blessed dead will have their souls reunited with their bodies, but they will be new, improved, glorious resurrection bodies, like the body that Christ has now that he has risen from the dead. And we will reign forever with Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. The condemned will have sentenced themselves to everlasting perdition. We can call that hell. That thought of eternal damnation is terrifying. If talking about death is taboo and verboten, then talking about hell is even more so. I confess that I have often fallen into the trap of avoiding speaking about God's judgment. I grew up around some hellfire and brimstone preachers, and I never wanted to be one of those. However, our faith tells us that it is only a cruel preacher who would not warn his congregation about the dangers of divine retribution because the stakes are so high. There are mortal souls. I don't want to fail you, so please be warned. People have looked for ways to get around the reality of everlasting punishment. Some have theorized that God must give everybody a second chance after death. The Bible says nothing about a second chance like that. Faith is trust in things unseen. A person who professes faith in Christ after death and on the precipice of Hades isn't trusting Jesus. He would just be following the instinct to self-preservation. Don't count on a second chance after death. Purgatory was another attempt to soften the threat of God's judgment. The idea that if someone was too bad for heaven but too good for hell, he would be sent to an intermediary place where his sins would be purged and eventually he would go to heaven. The Bible says nothing about purgatory either. That would only work if people earned their way into heaven, which we know they don't. We know that we are justified by grace through faith. Yet another idea put forward by people is that they think a loving God would not, could not punish anyone. Their idea was that if people don't get punished in the afterlife, that they don't get punished in the afterlife, but they merely cease to exist. They are annihilated. We might find that appealing, but again, the Bible never says that at all. Somewhat similar to this is something that I heard about what would happen if we got to heaven and discovered that some of our loved ones weren't there. It was said that God would make us forget they ever existed so we wouldn't be sad in heaven. The Bible says nothing about that either. Of course, heaven isn't all about our happiness. It's all about praising God. And if God removed my memories, then I'm really not me anymore, am I? It would seem so much more plausible to me that if we notice someone missing in heaven, in perfect faith, we will accept that God, in his perfect wisdom and perfect justice, did the right thing, as he always does. I'd like to close with a summary statement and a prayer. In sum, Jesus died on the cross to save us from sin, death, and hell. The baptized believer can look forward to eternal life in a resurrected body with Christ in the new heaven and the new earth where all will be peace and light. That is our blessed hope. And God will make good on his promise. The prayer comes from the commendation of the dying, a devotion that I do with those approaching Christ's nearer presence and their families. The prayer says, "We entrust you to God who created you. May you return to the one who formed us out of the dust. Surrounded by the angels and triumphant saints, may Christ come to meet you as you go forth from this life. Christ, the Lord of glory, who was crucified for you, bring you freedom and peace. Christ, the high priest, who has forgiven all your sins, keep you among his people. Christ, the Son of God, who died for you, show you the glories of his eternal kingdom. Christ, the good shepherd, enfold you with his tender care. May you see your Redeemer face to face and enjoy the sight of God forever. May this be so for us all. Amen."